Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Tense statements from both sides following today's phone call between British Foreign Secretary Liz Truss and her EU counterpart Maros Sefcovic on the UK's plans to dismantle the Northern Ireland Protocol. Liz Truss said the UK would have no choice but to take action on the protocol if the EU did not show requisite flexibility, while Mr. Sefcovic said unilateral action was simply unacceptable. Well, Shona Murray is Europe correspondent with Euronews, and she's just held an interview with Maros Sefcovic. She joins us now to talk us through what he's been saying to her. You're very welcome, Shona, to the programme today. So, as I said, tension is rising over the protocol. This morning's phone call certainly hasn't helped between Liz Truss and Maros Sefcovic. And the British Foreign Secretary described the situation in Northern Ireland as a matter of the internal peace and security of the UK, while Mr. Sefcovic said such a move would be a matter of serious concern and simply unacceptable. So in the first clip that you conducted, Shona, we're going to hear Maros Sefcovic appealing to the UK government to think again.
This time, I think we just have to really appeal to the UK government to think again, because unilateral path will have only negative consequences for Northern Ireland, for relationship between UK and Ireland, and for the overall relationship between UK and the EU. And I think these days we see how important it is that Western democracies work together. I mean, we have a war in Ukraine, and therefore I'm just appealing to the UK government to return back to negotiating table, avoid unilateral action, and let's really find the solutions with the Northern Ireland people are waiting for.
So that's what he had to say to you on that, Shona. What did you make of it, and what do you think is the likelihood of the UK government doing as he's wished, thinking again?
Well, that's the key question. Obviously, they're threatening to initiate this legislation by the end of this week or early next week, even though we don't know if it'll get through the House of Commons or the House of Lords. But nonetheless, actually, you know, the phone call today, which was aimed at probably de-escalating the situation, did not go well. I met Maros Sefcovic just afterwards. He was, a bit taken aback by how frosty it was. In addition, you know, it's seen as hugely disappointing for lots of reasons. In Brussels, first of all, when Liz Truss took over from David Frost, there was hope that it would be much more pragmatic. In fact, all sides said that, including the UK side. They felt that she really wanted to make progress, but they always said that she has her constituency to deal with, which is of course the Tory party, and she has leadership ambitions. So there's disappointment then, moreover, really, because there was hope that the EU, the UK, the US, the Western allies could actually work together in the midst of this brutal war in Ukraine.
Yeah, so of course then, if the UK does go ahead with what it's threatening here and with unilateral action and stop implementing checks that have been in place under the protocol, it's going to have a problem, isn't it, for Northern Ireland and potentially the Republic of Ireland. And in this next clip, you put that to Maros Sefcovic and he questions Northern Ireland's access to the single market. Let's have a listen to that.
To put it in a nutshell, this puts a huge question mark over the access of Northern Ireland to the single market. It put a huge question mark over all the arrangement we've been working so hard to make sure that we would promote peace, stability and predictability on the island of Ireland without a hard border. And let's also remind ourselves that this was actually the proposition, the protocol we got from the UK government. So we delivered on negotiating in, approving in, ratifying together. And now I think it's a time to deliver and to show political will from the UK side.
And do you think there must be a realisation of that, Shona, on the UK side, that this would obviously put a question mark on the access of Northern Ireland to the single market?
There has to be, Sarah, because they were members of the EU for 40-odd years. They were keen, constructive members of the single market. They know the regulatory system. They know the core principle of the EU's single market is to have specific production standards, regulatory standards, and traceability, specifically when it comes to animal health care, veterinary health care. We saw with things like foot and mouth. So certainly those implications are a threat. But of course, you know, the whole point of the protocol is the also not having a border on the island of Ireland, allowing the Northern Ireland stay in the EU's single market. So that does put it in jeopardy. But then the pressure is put on the Republic of Ireland, the Irish state. What happens then in relation to checks in the EU? And the UK know this full well.
Yeah, and this is really where the crunch part comes for us, isn't it? Because if there's no longer checks being conducted down the Irish Sea on goods that are coming in from Britain to Northern Ireland, and the Irish government doesn't want to put up a hard border on goods coming from Northern Ireland into the Republic, then how can the EU be sure that goods coming from the Republic into the EU have been checked? Now, this is where it gets really, really difficult. You put all of that to Maro Sefcovic, and he said it could cause more problems for the Republic of Ireland.
Therefore, we are so seriously concerned because we don't think that Ireland, which anyway is already bearing so much burden from the Brexit, should assume additional problems and additional challenges. So therefore, the solution which we negotiated together had also the sequence that first we have to have orderly withdrawal. Part of it is, of course, the protocol on Ireland and Northern Ireland. And after orderly withdrawal, we are building on top of it the trade and cooperation agreement. But I'm just asking, you know, what happens if you pull out the fundaments from under this very important TCA agreement? So it brings to the table a lot of questions, which I thought, together with our member states and European Parliament, we solved and resolved when we agreed and ratified withdrawal agreement, protocol and TCA.
Were you surprised by how frank he was there, Seana?
I was actually. I asked him twice because I said, you know, just to be clear, we're talking about Ireland as opposed to Northern Ireland in relation to this. And he said, yeah, I mean, look, he said, ultimately, the EU will protect Ireland's place as single market. Legally, Ireland is entitled to protection. It's a member of 27 countries that has that protection. But certainly it does put huge burden of responsibility on Dublin and Brussels as to where the checks go. I mean, in relation to the protocol, the single market obviously is important, but Northern Ireland has already been offered several derogations, you know, identity goods, minimisation of the regulatory checks, offers to have a temporary SBS, deal. So they have made, or they are trying to make arrangements for the North, but if that doesn't happen, the single market does have to be protected. And like I said, the UK know this, but I was surprised, Sarah, actually, at how he sort of was a little bit equivocal.
Yeah. Now, he did also give assurances that Ireland's position in the single market would be protected, as you say. Let's have a listen to that.
I said we will do our utmost to protect the place of Ireland in the single market. It's simply not acceptable that in this case a third country would have impact on who are the members of the European Union or what position they have on the single market. So we'll do whatever it takes to protect the place of Ireland in the single market.
There's also quite a lot of disquiet among the EU officials here and the Irish officials about the lack of engagement by the UK. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about that.
And what we proposed is actually drastic reduction. We are proposing 80% cut if it comes to phytosanitary or sanitary controls, more than 50% cut in the customs procedure. But we do not have the reaction from the UK government.
So that really is where things have really run into the sand, isn't it, Seana? Or at least that's what the EU side seem to feel, is that they're really just not, they're not getting anything back now.
Exactly. And then there's the fear that the EU gives something and then they bank it and then they ask for more. We know that Joe Biden has even offered, if the UK goes with the phytosanitary deal, which would help the regulatory system, would help farmers in the north, then the US would still offer the UK a trade agreement. So Maro Sefcovic even said that if they did it temporarily or just did a veterinary agreement, it would mean no regulatory checks on animal goods going GB to NI. So there are solutions there, but the UK's position is that they want their own unilateral system, and that's the only thing that, you know, they'll settle for, which the EU sees as a total renegotiation of the protocol.
So if they do go this direction, if the UK do as they have threatened to do, you asked Maro Sefcovic how the EU would react. This is what he had to say.
We are going to discuss the concrete response measures once we see the concrete proposal from the UK government. Of course, we will look for all alternative, all options, and we discuss this issue with our member states and the European Parliament.
Briefly, Seana, he's leaving really everything open there, all the options.
That's right. I mean, we'll have to see what the member states say, but he is saying, indeed, all options will be on the table.
Seana Murray, thank you very much for joining us with that.